Let's turn to Ephesians this morning, and we're going to be continuing along the lines that we've been on of building the body of Christ. You know, one thing about natural bodybuilding is that to accomplish the results, there's a lot of repetitions that have to go into it. Just doing the same thing over and over and over, and it can get mundane, but it does bring results. Amen. And it's the same thing in our interpersonal relationships as we continue to minister the grace of God to one another, to fulfill the mandates that God has placed upon us, to prefer others above ourselves and to seek the good of others, to rejoice when others in our midst are promoted, and all of these things that bring about a healthy body. The things that can then destroy the body is to begin to bring in foreign things like sugar in abundance. Everything in moderation. Amen. And these different things that begin to come in, and like, you know, butter. And I won't continue to mention all of the good things that make everything taste good. But we know that in excess it begins to bring about an unwanted result. Amen. And so we look at these different aspects as it pertains to the body of Christ, building the body of Christ. The way the body of Christ is built is by ministering one another or bringing mutual edification one to another. So in Ephesians, we see the positive and the negative that are spoken to in this passage in Ephesians that we've referred to so many times and want to look at again in chapter 4, verse 29, where it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Now, that's only half of the formula for getting this task done, isn't it? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So we've been talking about that in the last number of sessions, not allowing these things that bring corruption or destruction, confusion, bitterness, envies, strifes, the scripture says. We commented that this is the one thing that Satan has always used and will continue to use until Jesus comes against the church. Because of the statement of the Lord, a house divided against itself, say it with me, cannot stand. Husbands, wives, guard your mouths. Speak to one another only in things that edify. Amen. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. You see, we try to apply those passages. We think they're passages that are pretty much exclusively to the community, to the body. It starts in your home. It starts in your home. And there ought to be a great awareness of this, because we become so common with one another at times. And we many times we say, well, we're just relaxed. Let's finish that thought. I'm just relaxed in being myself. Ooh, is that what you want to be? Is that what the self is? Then the rest is hypocrisy. And so we realize then that it's what we say and how we act in those times that we're relaxed, that we're with those that we have commonality with. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So we've been looking at this need to examine our own hearts by what we're saying. Listen to what you're saying. Some of us talk so much we don't listen to what we're saying. Be swift to and slow to speak. In the abundance of words, there wanteth not. Anybody here, don't have to raise your hands, think maybe you would help yourself if you talk 25% less and really listened 25% more. These are Bible principles that speak toward our lives, things that will preserve our lives. To not guard ourselves against these things can ultimately bring to us damnation. Because as we're just going to review here for just a moment, remember everything that I speak to here is found in those five major lists that are given in the scriptures. The lists through Galatians, 1 Corinthians, Romans, they all have their little lists. And they say things like, those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that do these things bring destruction and judgment upon themselves. He calls them the children of disobedience. And so the consequences are grave. And as we've been saying over these last number of sessions, but they become so common and so acceptable in our lives. In fact, if you look over at the next chapter here in Ephesians, and we'll get right back to verse 29, but look what it says. We're real keen on verse 3 of chapter 5. Fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Amen? How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Those are bad things. Bad things. Then verse 4 starts off with neither. Oh, okay. Well, he's not done, I guess. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather do what? Give thanks. Hallelujah. And so he is equating this foolish talking and all of these different things that so many times we say are just jests or whatever. Things that are not convenient or things that are not edifying, things that are not bringing about an enhancement, a building, a purifying of the body of Christ, but in fact tearing down unfruitful, vain, worthless talking. If you're going to open your mouth, let's give thanks. Amen? When we're around one another, let's make sure that our conversations are to edification, to glorifying God for all of the grace and mercy He's shown us. We could speak the rest of our lives and never exhaust the topic of God's goodness to us and His mercy and grace. Amen? And so this is what He's saying to us and how dangerous these things are. And yet we were talking in a couple of the last sessions how we let them into our midst. And I gave the illustration, if you remember, you know, that if you're going to go off in the corner over here and speak corrupt words and speak against a brother and things that are defaming and critical, then we might as well have over in this corner the fornication corner and be showing porn movies and everything because they're both on the same list. Now we say all sin is alike, but we don't really believe that. We need to get that as sound doctrine in our hearts. There is not one sin that's greater than another. These things cannot be glossed over. The way you treat your wife, the way you speak to your wife, you might as well go out and commit adultery. Now please, don't do as some of you do and take everything literally. Oh, thanks, Pastor. That'd be, you know, it's a... Same list. We've got to begin to take this stuff seriously like God does. Let it not be once. How much is too much? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that part of what we've been dealing with this morning. But just in review to go back and see what God is calling us to do. Do not let this corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth once. Amen? Don't let it proceed out of your mouth once. But then it goes on and says, here's our responsibility, but Here's what you do communicate about. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearer. I'll bet if we look hard enough, we can find at least one good thing to say about somebody in here. I know that's a sarcasm. Boy, it sure seems like sometimes we find it hard. It's because what we're looking for. You know, the problem for many of us, our hearts, our receiver, and our transmitter, it's both. But we need to have ears that are in fine tune to anything that doesn't edify. And Ephesians goes down in that next chapter and says, reprove it. Amen? One of the greatest things we can do for ourselves as a family is step up in reproving sin. And not letting it be named in our midst. That God could be glorified. Give yourself over to speaking what edifies. That ministers grace. Now tell me what grace is. Grace is? You say it whether they deserve it or not. Amen? But that ministers? Why don't we say about each other what Jesus says about us? And even though we don't always act like it, He calls us sons, heirs, joint heirs. He calls us righteous. Amen. And He calls us holy. Oh, how we need to see each other through the blood of Jesus and say what God says. If that's God's judgment, who do we think we are to judge another man's servant? Amen? Amen? And so we realize then that as He's trying to cause these things to become real in our hearts, because He says to do anything but minister grace. Now watch. Not only to the hearers, that individual that you're now speaking to, but those that would be observers around us. The hearers, the individual you're speaking to, others that might hear what we are saying, it's always ministering grace. We always give the other person the benefit of Jesus' redemption, of His shed blood being able to cleanse them. The Holy Ghost being a better convincing agent than we are. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. It's the Holy Ghost's job to bring about this convincing and conviction. Oh, we know the scriptures enough to know He uses individuals. But the Holy Ghost is the agent of that ministry, spoken very clearly in John 16. Our job as we minister to one another is to see ourselves as edifiers. Take that on as a ministry. How can I build up the body of Christ? How can I build up Jesus in our midst? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is that that corrupts? That's not edifying. And we looked at different topics, and I'm just going to go through them very quickly right now, but get them in your notes again and let them begin to be things that you will go back over in your mind and see what God speaks to. And these verses, if you would look at them, I've given the verses in some of the past teachings. But look up very quickly, Proverbs 10, 1 Timothy 3, Proverbs 11, Proverbs 18, Proverbs 20, Proverbs 26, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 Timothy 5, Proverbs 6, Proverbs 8, Proverbs 16, just for a little start. And as you look those verses up and see the damnable consequences of corrupt speaking, it separates best friends, the scripture says. It's wounds that go down into the belly that only God's mercy and grace can heal. Being slandered, being murdered by those who are close to us takes grace to be healed from. Thank God it is sufficient in us. Amen? I'm not talking about the fact that it takes forever to heal because it can be done by a choice in a moment. What I'm emphasizing is the damage it does. And to think we can just slough it off and it's just me shooting out more words. Words are powerful. You're going to be judged for every non-productive, edifying word that you've ever spoken. Or should I continue with the scriptural principle? Or listen to? Because the Bible equates the two, and I'm not taking time this morning to go over to those verses. We call it the proverbial garbage can, but you're just as guilty for listening as the one that's doing the speaking. And so when we see this being Satan's method to come in, most of us here are not going to be seduced by the devil back into our drug lives. Most of us here are not going to be seduced and drawn back to our drunkardness. Most of us are not going to come back to our lascivious lifestyles. Most of us here are not going to be drawn back to being liars and thieves. But this is all on the same list and bears the same judgment and consequences. And yet for centuries, it's become acceptable in the body of Christ. Some of the old Pentecostal teachers used to say to the ladies, you know, they had to wear their glory knots and they couldn't cut their hair. And these ladies in the old Pentecostal churches, man, when they would dance their hair down, dancing in the Holy Ghost, and sometimes they'd call it the old timers, that man with the glory of God, she danced her hair down, man, and just blessing God and dancing, and the bun collapsed and the hair came down, hair down past their knees. And then you'd hear some of the other preachers say, I'm not concerned with how long your hair is. I'm concerned with how long your tongue is. Your hair comes down to your knees and your tongue can wrap around the building and affect everybody in the place. But for years, we've emphasized movies and dancing and different observable types of holiness, and then have glossed over. Why do you think that's been done? Because it's so common, even among the preachers, that they have trouble preaching against it because they're doing it. And so we realize the need, if we're going to see this holiness and purity manifest in our church, in the body of Christ as our heart's desire, if we're going to protect ourselves, that our prayers be not hindered. Beloved, listen to me. If this strife comes into our midst through this uncontrolled speaking, and we'll see this as we go on into the teaching possibly this morning, but listen to me. When you stand praying, can I paraphrase that another way? Don't bother praying if there's unforgiveness in your heart. Don't bother. Don't even stand up and lift your face toward me, God says, if there's bitterness and strife in your heart. I won't hear what you have to say. Don't bother. Go make those things right, he says, and then come and bring your gift to the altar. But for years, within our churches, the severity of this offense to God, it's one of the things God says he hates. Amen? And so we said we were going to briefly speak of the categories, and so I'll just share with you very quickly this morning. Slander. That just means to defame. To bring an evil report. It doesn't say it has to be true or not. It's the transferring of information that tears someone else down, that diminishes someone's character in the eyes of others. Slander, you know, and we have slander suits, and they're very difficult to win. One of the reasons is motive in our court systems becomes a part of this thing, and we have to do with whether people are public figures or not, and we have to do, and it goes on, and ad nauseum, and so we realize, the scripture speaks toward it from another perspective, not once. Anything that is diminishing someone, don't let it be named once among you. That's differing then from another aspect, another category, and that's talebearing. It just means somebody that carries everything about, that is bringing about I like what the Greek is. It says a scandalmonger. And we've got to be so careful that we're not those talebearers. Proverbs 26 says, where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Amen? There's no fuel being added to the fire. But that tendency to want to just keep rehashing and doing this and having to tell somebody else, and then we tell somebody else, and there continues to be that revealing of secrets that Proverbs 20 speaks of. The other major category is busybodiness. Dear Lord. Just gotta be in everybody's business. And he speaks toward that. And he says in 2 Thessalonians that those that are walking disorderly, you know, we many times in our fellowship have practiced 2 Thessalonians 3 for many different occasions as a fellowship in our young adults. But it's interesting to me that it's never been applied, and one of the very references made in the verse is busybodies. If somebody is a busybody, walking disorderly, we're to have nothing to do with them. And when we do speak to them, it's to bring reproof that they could be shamed and brought back into right standing. Amen? Now, I know what some people are thinking, well, dear Lord, what are we going to talk about? Well, we just mentioned that. Give thanksgiving. Speak to edification. Come together in prayer and intercession. We've got a community to reach here for Jesus. Amen? And there's nothing that will hinder us reaching these souls like giving place to the enemy in our midst. For where there is bitter envying and strife, there's every evil work. Now here's one of the problems. And I've mentioned it before, and I'll make reference to it again. Not just one or two. There are numerous households, marriages here in our midst where there is anything but kindness and gentleness and long-suffering and love being ministered among themselves. Now see, some of you wonder at times, what's Pastor, what's he talking about? And some of you are guilty and you're going, he's talking to me. I want you to know there's other people in here besides you. And we know a lot about everybody, and you shouldn't. Amen? We are not addressing straw men. And so when we're talking about certain subjects, like this particular subject, it manifests itself in so many ways in our interpersonal relationships. And so as I shared, we've shared many times, if this doesn't apply to you at this moment, and this does apply to you, it has applied to you, if you happen to be sitting there today going, hallelujah. It's been 23 hours since I did that last. It will come again. Amen. You'll have more opportunities and you will fail again. And God's good and He's merciful. Just be mature enough to love the light, to receive the reproof, to restore relationships, to realize God's mercy and grace to you, praise God. And it's so ironic how we get caught up in certain things, and it's not even about you. Yeah, but my friend, how do you know? My friend didn't get treated right, and this was said, and that, and I don't like, and I'm... Nobody should know all that. And if the sin, the offense wasn't against you, what's your problem? Busybody. And we don't, you know, among ourselves, and so as we're looking at these things, it's vital that where it applies to us, we take ownership, we repent. That we have enough love for one another that when we see it manifesting, we reprove it because it's not to be mentioned once among us. And then tragically so often, things that God is wanting to do in our hearts as the Word of God is coming forth, we're unable to hear when God's ministering to us as a community, we're unable to hear because we think we're being picked on. God is cleaning up more lives here this morning than just yours. Amen. Old secular song, you're so vain, I bet you think this sermon's about you. And so we realize then that God is wanting to bring edification to us. The next one is those that have a froward mouth. And I said we were just going to speak toward these topics, and I will. The next category being backbiters. Each of these, and we've done a teaching on them specifically, and if you want to study them out more specifically, you can go into your concordance and go to your vines and look up each of these words, and they'll tell you the Greek rendering of what the words mean. Then go back and find the topics in context and read it in context, and it'll give you a good understanding of what God is speaking toward. Put every one of them, just type them all in your, like I've done. Look at every word and look at every verse on every word and look at the definitions of all of the words. And then we get a feel for what God is trying to say to us. And the last one is an evil whisperer. Beloved, anything we say should be able to be said in the light, publicly, that we would have to say about anybody else, about where we stand in our position. One of my pet gripes of all of this internet blogging stuff are the cowards that hide. If you got something to say, put your name on it. And so we realize then that these are the things that are the vehicles that the enemy uses to bring about this destruction in our lives. Galatians tells us in Galatians 5, we all know the verse, you don't have to turn over there. But he says, be careful as you're relating to one another. Through this strife and this bitterness, and we begin to bite and pick and everything, he says, be careful that this doesn't cause us to be devoured, overcome by our flesh. James 3:16, we've quoted it already, but where there's bitter envying and strife, there's every evil work. So I think it would behoove us as a community to begin to, like Gideon's 300, lap from our hands and keep our eyes on the horizon, because Satan is doing one thing. I want to tell you something. There's not a whole lot of people today that are putting the time and effort that you're putting in to prayer, to Bible study, to outreach, I'm surely not saying we're the only ones doing something for God. I'm not even saying we're the best. I'm saying there are not many people that are making the effort that we're making to bring forth the kingdom of God in power and in glory, that men could look and see our works and glorify our Father that's in heaven, to fulfill the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel in power. For these signs will follow them that believe in my name. We have a task. We have a commission. God's doing a great work. You don't think Satan's going to try to mess it up? And the best I can tell in the Bible, there's only one way. A house divided. So what do you think the tactics are going to be? So next time somebody may be disorderly, it's not them, it's the devil. Are they being used as an instrument? Possibly. What are you going to do? Love the instrument, cast the devil out of them, praise God. Seek to edify, amen? How can we build each other up? He said, be very, very careful. These things can bring on us judgment, and it's definitely hinders our prayers, the scripture says. That's why in the wedding vows we heard just on Friday night, I love that passage in Peter that makes reference to that point. We've got to stay in a place where we respect and honor one another in this marriage. If we don't, our prayers will be hindered. How can we go pray when we're in strife in our marriage? How wise is a man that fights himself? That's stupid. It's like another movie I saw. And I can't remember I remember the name of it. It's the topic we're talking about. Liar, liar. And this guy had to tell the truth. But one scene in this thing, the guy just beats the snot out of himself, man. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what some marriages are like. We're one. We're beating our wives and we're putting them in place and all you're doing is damaging yourself, man. No man ever yet hated himself, his body. It's Satan's tactic, always has been, always will be. So what do we do in the midst of this thing? Because you know, the Bible says, listen, Jesus speaking to us, he says, offenses will come. But woe unto him by whom they come. Amen? And then he talks about offenses that are damaging little ones. Little ones don't just mean children. He's referring to innocent people. You know, when we're running our mouths, a lot of innocent people get hurt. Offenses will come, but woe unto them by whom they come. Be quick to run to the light. Be quick to repent. Be quick to allow restoration to take place. Be quick to stand back and love with the same love we've been loved and forgive with the same forgiveness. Amen? That's what makes a healthy church. That's how we begin to build bodies that are strong in the spirit. We won't go into the whole, we've taught so many times on 1 Corinthians 13, so we're not going to do another detailed teaching, but just the reference of loving with the same love. We talked about ministering that grace earlier. We all know the classic parable, don't we? When you've been forgiven 100 million, and you go grab your brother by the throat for 10 bucks, God will show up on the scene. Amen? The moment you lose sight of your debtorhood, the moment you lose sight that you are the chief of sinners, the moment that you lose sight, whenever there's conflict in the body of Christ and we are going to come together and try to get this thing reconciled, the moment you walk into that room with any thought other than, I'm the chief of sinners, you're in trouble. As it pertains, listen clearly, as it pertains to you, no one has been a greater sinner than you, as it pertains to you. So I was pointing at Catherine, so let's continue then with this thought. Tom, as it pertains to you, Catherine's not even a blip on the radar. You're the chief of sinners, man. Thank God for my godly wife. Amen? Thank God for this blood-washed woman, redeemed, sanctified, a new creation. Thank God she's been put into my life because I'm messed up. I'm not prophesying, I'm just making an illustration. Is that or is that not the spirit that Jesus told us to walk in? Once we're able to do that, Satan has no hope. He prefers, because his deeds are evil. The one thing we have to commit ourselves to is living lives in the light. In everything that's just put it all up on the table, the good, the bad, the ugly, hammer it out, and then love each other and go your way and whip up on the devil, because two will put 10,000 to flight, praise God. Amen? That's Bible. That's the way it all works. That's how and why you reconcile these marital squabbles. And so we see then what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. Because in this passage in Ephesians that we were just looking at, he goes down and he says, now listen, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come into this place and by the gifts of the Spirit manifest himself. We're looking for the working of miracles. We're looking for the prayers of faith to manifest themselves, the gifts of healings in our midst, the working of miracles in our midst. We're looking for prophecy and tongues and interpretation. We're looking for words of wisdom and words of knowledge and discernment of spirits to be manifesting. They don't manifest in an environment that grieves the Holy Spirit. I've just finished reading back-to-back biographies on two women ministers. As I went and reread biographies on Amy Semple McPherson and Catherine Kuhlman. And Catherine Kuhlman, almost in her dying breath, would never say anything but this. It was her position, and she was sticking to it. She said, I believe with all of my heart that the reason God has chosen me is because there's some man somewhere that wouldn't pay the price to do it. Now, what was she saying in this? She was talking about the fact that there's going to be prices paid if we're going to arrive at God's best and His full use in our lives. And if you study and see part of the testimony of her life, it was going on. The one thing that Catherine avoided as much as could be avoided was strife. That was the one thing she would mention. This would not be allowed anywhere in the staff, in the ministry, around her. She said the Holy Ghost cannot move in an environment where there's bickering and bitterness and envy and strife. And at first hint of it, those people were gone. We've got to protect the environment, the sanctity of the gathering of the church. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is not grieved by all of those masses who are adulterers, fornicators, drug addicts, homosexuals that fill the building. God isn't grieved by that. He's aggrieved by bickering Christians. The Holy Spirit calls and beckons those others to come and be healed, praise God. And as they come into our midst and they're born again and they're people that are set free from the bondage of these sins in their lives, they should be taught then to speak to edification, to prefer others, to live lives of humility, to admonish to be the greatest among us or servant of all. And so that's what the admonition to the church is. And so he calls us to that edification. He says, do good, Ephesians. We're back in Ephesians again. That which is good to the use of edifying, verse 29, that it might minister grace to the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Unless it's your wife, unless it's your husband, unless it's your children, except for when the real you manifests. Be kind one to another. Be tender-hearted. Dear God, we're all in this same fight against this flesh. Amen? We shouldn't criticize one another. We should feel sorry. We should empathize with one another. Brother, I know how you feel, man. I'm the same dog you are, man, and I hate this thing. I just happen to be up right now. Can I help you up? Can I edify you with the things where God has edified me? Can I comfort you with the same comfort wherewith I've been comforted? I've been where you are, man. I want to help you up. Where is that brokenness and tender-heartedness to help those that are battling in the flesh? Jesus makes it very clear. And it's so easy once you've tasted it, the goodness of God, once you've tasted it. I've had people ask me, Pastor, you mean really literally 490 times in a day? Absolutely literally. Love never fails. Amen? How many times have you been forgiven when you went to Father? Every time. Amen? Whew, thank God. Well, I'll tell you what, that might be, 490, but I don't know if that's literal or not. And I'll tell you what, they just need to stop this stuff. They need to step up. I'm sick and tired of this stuff. Ooh. That's your response to that $10 debt? You might ought to pause for just a moment and turn around because Jesus is standing back there. The omnipotent one. The omniscient one. The one who knows every heart, every motive, and might I remind you, every sin he ever forgave you of. You say, how can God have forgotten, totally abolished every sin that we've ever committed and then bring them back up again? Because he's God. Amen? Because the Bible says so. So then are you telling me those sins are absolutely, truly forgotten? There's no record of them? That's exactly what I'm telling you. There is no handwriting of ordinance against you. Amen? They can turn the world and heaven upside down. And there is nothing, nothing forensic that can say you ever committed that sin. It is gone, obliterated, abolished by the blood of Jesus. Absolutely. gone. Can you say praise God? But one thing will bring it back. Just don't forgive somebody else. And it all comes back. And I don't know about you, but I got a big book. Can you bring that book in here about Star Scott? Wait a minute, we're going to have to get a dump truck. Make it two. I've been treated poorly by people a few times. I don't have any trouble forgiving. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. And the closer they are, the more it hurts. Nothing compared to what I've been forgiven for. I am the chief of sinners. No question. And He is the God of love and forgiveness. No question. Hallelujah. And so He says, and we'll finish with this for this morning, as we're looking to minister grace to the hearers, and we're verse 32, being kind one to another, tender-hearted. And we're coming up on one of the greatest phrases, I believe, in the Scripture. Forgiving one another, say the next three words with me, even as God. Would you say that's the kind of forgiveness you've extended? Even as God? God's forgiveness is referenced by a word, ephiemi. Well, you know, we can forgive, but not forget. You better forget. God's forgiveness forgets. Well, we're not divine. We can't forget. You can tear down every thought. You can bring every thought into subjection. Oh, you have the capacity in your mind of fiery darts hitting back in there and trying to trigger different points in our life, and something else arises and that thing comes up. Don't even entertain it for a moment. Don't let it be once thought among us. Amen? And you pull it down. And the moment you have pulled it down and put it under the blood of Jesus, you've forgotten it. You're not giving recognition to it. You're not mulling it over again in your mind. You're not saying, oh, here we go again. Here we go again with what? There's no evidence that anything ever happened prior to this. So it's never here we go again if we've truly forgiven. It's like, let's deal with this and get it out of our midst so we can walk in harmony and in unity and glorify God. You know, we have all of that human wisdom that wants to add. They'll say, well, you know, we can't forget. Forgiveness necessitates, mandates forgetting. No record. I will not entertain this again. And when someone else comes up to you and goes, oh, it's so bad what so-and-so did to you. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you? You know, no, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear evil whisperings. I don't want to hear any slander against that person. There is no record. They have never done anything against me. I don't know what you're talking about. You want to go celebrate? Your sins are cast behind His back. They are in the sea of His forgetfulness. They are as far removed from you as the east is from the west. It's time to celebrate, praise God. Amen. give no place to the devil. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we just ask that you administer grace to us and help us as a people to love one another and to edify one another. Help us as a people to be captivated by your love, to receive that grace that you've spoken of, to worship and be thankful because it's so readily been given to me. I will forgive, I will love, even as I have been loved, even as I have been forgiven. But my husband's done this again, even as. My wife doesn't show me the respect I think she should, even as. My kids have rebelled and they won't receive my counsel, even as. Because we've done that plenty of times toward our Father, haven't we? And yet He's never ceased to love us, and He's always been there the moment we repent. Father, do a work in our lives and be glorified in our midst, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, even as Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace. God's love go with you.